Psalm 31, and we'll be reading from the ESV translation, Psalm chapter 31. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side. They scheme together against me as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight, but you heard the voices of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Amen. So Psalm 31 is the psalm which Jesus cites when he is on the cross. And you know, one of the last few words that he says is, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." It is also a psalm that speaks much about God's sovereignty and how he takes care of us in difficult times. As you can see, David is speaking in contrasts. And in many of the Psalms that we have looked at previously, it is very similar in theme, in that the enemies are encamped around David. And in many ways, it's an analogy and a precursor to what Jesus had encountered in his own life. In fact, if anything, it's more prophetic of Jesus' own life, which is why Jesus is citing Psalm 31 in the moments before he died. But how it applies to us today, in fact, is very interesting from a different perspective as well. It's interesting, firstly, that in these times of the pandemic, our true natures shine through. And by that, I mean this. For many people whose social connections and social activity before the pandemic were simply born out of, let's say, convenience, the same people would, in present days, likely have significantly reduced social interaction. And that's not because they want to protect other people. It's not because, because the law says only two people can be out in the streets now, not because of the laws and the policies that are in place. But if anything, it's because those social interactions, which were one born out of convenience, of course, now is no longer convenient. And so those people perhaps don't spend time with these other persons anymore. They don't really treasure these social connections to begin with, because they were convenient, and now that it's inconvenient, those connections are not kept up with. And then, of course, that transfers into the context of ministry. There are many of us who treat ministry in the same way, that we do ministry when it's convenient for us, when we have the time, when we're able to slip in some ministry time in between something else that may or may not be more important. And I dare say that perhaps many of us listening today, even for myself, that maybe you haven't done a lot of ministry for a while. And part of the reason is because it's no longer convenient for you. Now then, of course, there's house church, there's fellowship, there's Bible studies, there's prayer meetings. How many of us log in to listen to EMP more often compared to actually going to Solomon's Porch, going to the sanctuary to pray at EMP? Of course, our posture and actions during these difficult times may in fact be the clearest indication of the fruit of our walks with God right now. C.S. Lewis once said, "We can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." So C.S. Lewis says, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So what's happening right now, whether you believe it's from God or not, all the pandemic, whether you believe this is a result of God's punishment, discipline, whatever that may be, that's not the purpose of today's message. The reality is that God can still use the pandemic, which is indeed a painful circumstance, to rouse a deaf world. It is a commentary on the nature of our hearts. The pandemic is revealing something that was already there before that, and that the circumstances may not have revealed it then, but now it is ever more apparent that perhaps many of us treat God, treat our quiet times, treat our ministries, treat our relationships not with as much treasure, not with as much care as we once thought we did. And it is precisely because of the state of our faith now that maybe some of us have become lazy, or some of us have actually preferred the online nature of our gatherings, and that this could actually also be a demonstration of our lack of desperation for God, a lack of desperation for physical interaction with the people of God and also with our neighbors as a manner of witnessing to them. And also, in fact, demonstrates potentially a lack of understanding that even in these times, God remains our rock. He remains our fortress. And that's why in Psalm 31, verse 19, it says this, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind." I'm going to read that again. "How abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind." This is an excellent verse that speaks about God's sovereignty, speaks about how he stores up goodness for us as long as we take refuge in him. In fact, this is completely a mirror of another verse that many of us may be familiar with, in Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. I remember when I was a student, that's actually the key verse that changed my mind about Christianity. This is before I was a Christian. I was at most a nominal Catholic. And someone preached this verse, and I heard it, and it just changed my life. It enabled me to see that God's sovereignty meant that in spite of my mistakes, in spite of the difficult circumstances, in spite of whatever I may be facing, that God has in store blessings for his people. The question is, are we walking with him? Are we walking with him to inherit those blessings? Are we walking through Christ to inherit those blessings? Or do we wish to make our own blessings for ourselves, and that we distrust God in these days? Now compare this to the worthless idols that are mentioned in verse 6. I hate those who pay regard to the worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. So David says, I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. The phrase worthless idols is literally translated as evil, useless, transitory, vain idols. These are objects that are without substance. These are objects that have no basis, no foundation. It is useless. It is vain. It is transitory. The reason I refer to worthless idols is this. The people around us, even ourselves, whether we know it or not, are actually clinging on to worthless idols today. We've been clinging on to idols that are without worth. Idols which do not store up goodness for us. Idols which are without substance, are useless. Instead of desperately clinging on to Jesus in these pandemic times, we cling on to Netflix, onto easy entertainment, onto the fear of people, onto the choice of hiding instead of the choice to minister, of the choice to isolate and to cover up our fears by saying, well, I'm isolating because it's for the good of others. But in fact, we know it, you know it. The choice to isolate is actually primarily to preserve yourself. The motivation is driven to preserve oneself and not necessarily by love for one's neighbor. If we truly recognize that the Lord's place in our lives is actually more than simply, well, I'll pray to you when I have difficult times. Otherwise, it sounds like everything that's happening right now, we just need to buckle down and we have to look out for ourselves, look out for the family members. We can say all those things, but the Lord knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows exactly what we're doing with him. He knows exactly where we stand with him. He knows exactly, and he sees how we seize the opportunities to witness and to minister to those around us. But at the same token, he also sees the real reason why we're not witnessing and ministering to people around us. If we recognize that he is our fortress, if we recognize he is our savior, if we recognize that all of us should be desperate for God today, then we can come to David's verses and say these things. Verse 9, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. How many of us have actually pleaded this to God since January when the pandemic hit? Or have many of us actually relied on our own strength, on our own resources, on our close friendships that we've maintained in these times, on entertainment, on everything possible that could distract us from the difficulty of these days, and yet we haven't actually turned to him enough? We haven't actually said to him, Lord, my distress can only be remedied and salvaged by your grace. I know the goodness that you have stored for me as long as I take refuge in you. The question then is he worthy in us for us to take refuge in him? Or do we instead cling onto these worthless idols for comfort? David says these things to God because he knows that God can heal him in his distress. He knows that only God can cover our iniquities. We can never cover our own iniquities. Only he can do that. But we need to recognize that he is indeed worthy, and that all of the things that we cling onto for comfort are vain, are transitory, and that they will never last. And we might not realize that we've been doing that, brothers and sisters. And that today, as I meditated through Psalm 31, I also too realized that I have been holding on to these things asking for help from these things or seeking relief from these things, when instead the true and only relief is from God in these times. And that's why it's important that today and this morning that we spend a bit of time to meditate, really question, really, really question, who do we turn to? What do we turn to relieve ourselves from stress, from anxiety, from the difficulties that we're facing right now? For those of us, for example, that are looking for jobs or in between jobs, what are we doing with the time that we have on our hands? Is it all spent just simply honing your skills for the next job? Or as much of it, or have you been spending as much of it preparing your heart and your spiritual place and your state so that when that opportunity comes, you know that God will place you there and that He's ready to use you like that in a new place, in a new opportunity? And that's not just for people with new jobs. It's for people who are looking for new opportunities in their current places, whether it's relationships, whether it's in their current jobs, whether it's in their current ministries and opportunities, that even then, are we sharpening our spiritual tools? Or instead, are we just keeping the status quo because we want to find relief elsewhere? And so those are many things to meditate on. So let us pray as we invite Marcus to prepare for worship. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Father, again for Psalm 31. There's so much richness in this chapter. I barely touched the surface of it. I barely scratched what depth there is in what you want to say to us through this chapter. But the ones that stuck out to me, first, that is very similar to Romans 8:28, and that is this: abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. Many people in this world will doubt and word of goodness for us. Many of those in the world think you are the cause of this pandemic, and that you hate us, and that you just want to punish and discipline us. But that's just not your heart, Father. Your heart is that you want to share that abundant goodness that you've stored up for us. And so that we, when we take refuge, share that blessing with us. And yet we always turn to other things first before taking refuge in you. And we are sorry for that. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit help us to pay heed to you and to turn to you faster and sooner than the other things that we've been clinging on to. Thank you, Jesus. In your Son's name, amen.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But you know that all the dark will stop the light from getting through. Do you wish that you could see it all? You do. As all creation groaning, is a new creation coming, is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst, it is. It's good that we remind ourselves of it. It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of us? Yes. Does the Father truly love us, he does? Does the Spirit move among us, he does? And is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves, he does? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
Father, you are indeed worthy. You're far more worthy than any other thing that we cling on to today for comfort, for help, for relief, for blessing, for goodness. We know, Lord, that we've not been turning to you as often as we should. And Father, we ask your Spirit to help us and guide us in that. And Lord, that, Father, that we pray that we can become more intimate with you and that we can really check the state of our hearts and to realize what idols we've been clinging on to. Thank you, Jesus. Let us now pray for our community. Let's pray first for those that have been diagnosed with cancer and those that are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery right now. Yeah, let's pray next for those that are ill and those who do not yet know Jesus. Let's pray for their healing and pray that they also meet with our Lord. pray next for those that are with infirmities. Let's pray now for those that are looking for jobs. Let's pray that they're using their time wisely, but at the same time, pray that they're blessed and covered and that opportunities will come to them soon and that they don't have to wait for too long. Let's pray for that. Pray for mission focus. Let's pray for doors for ministry in North Korea. Of course, pray for those that are already there and doing God's work. Let's pray for more missional opportunities in Asia and pray for the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Pray for all the difficulties that are going on right now. Like, of course, just a few weeks ago, there was the explosion in Lebanon. There's not been as much coverage, but of course, it's not any more resolved. So let's pray for healing in that land and the churches that are working there as well. Let's pray next for the SP online weekend gatherings. We have the Single Life Workshop Retreat that's taking place tomorrow. We have SPLI Transform Series, I think. I think it might have already finished. It might still be on its last legs. Let's pray for that as well. Pray that people will really be blessed by the last few sessions. Migrant Workers Outreach, Sunday Services, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Spin and Spill services and activities and all the meetings. Pray that people don't feel lethargic or feel over-zoomed, but if anything, that there still is much excitement and enthusiasm in online gatherings. Let's pray for that. Pray for house churches. Let's pray for Hollywood, King's Court, Mawan, and Southside house churches, that they're blessed in their discussions about the message of the radical middle, that people start the house churches on the right foot with the right heart and the right commitment. finally, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for there to be just a healing in this land. Pray for wisdom for the government. Pray that the factions, political dissensions, and all those things would find healing. Would find healing soon, but more importantly, the healing in the hearts of those people that are very vocal. Let's pray that they meet with Jesus and that that would also transform the way they speak and the way they express their views. Let's pray for the pandemic. Let's pray that there will be healing in this land from the pandemic, that as more and more people are being tested and that those people who are ill will receive treatment. And Lord, of course, we pray that there are fewer and fewer people that are ill, and that, Lord, that the land will be reopened and that the people are in a place to meet again physically. More importantly, I pray for the state of our spiritual hearts and minds, and that we really need to cling on to you more, Father. And that if your megaphone of the pain has not roused this deaf world despite what's going on, then really, we have some serious issues and things that we need to work through. So let's pray for Hong Kong right now. Let us pray before we close today's prayer gathering. Lord God, I just want to thank you again, Father, for this beautiful day. I pray, Lord, that as we meditate on Psalm 31, that we realize that we've been clinging on to these worthless idols. And Lord, that you continue to guide us to you, the only worthy one in our lives. I pray, Lord, that as we embark on this weekend, that we reflect on the activities that we're doing. And we really rethink, you know, are these activities born out of us clinging on to these worthless idols? Are these activities born out of us being fearful and not putting faith in Jesus? Or are these activities born out of a greater intimacy with you and that your heart reaches out to the people that we meet out with, that we're meeting with right now? So Father, I pray that your Spirit will convict us, will comfort us, and will guide us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.